Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. You are awesome. King of kings and Lord of lords. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in us and through us today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, welcome to Lots of Love Ministries. Glad to have you with us today. We want to wish a happy Mother's Day to all of our beautiful mothers out there. May your day be as beautiful as you, relaxing and filled with the love of your families. Hallelujah. I had a good start to my Mother's Day. My son cooked me breakfast in bed, and it was very delicious. And I just thank you, Ianru, for that beautiful breakfast. That was wonderful. Thank you. Well, today I feel led to share about the gospel of the kingdom. We're to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. And Matthew 24:14 says, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." I think many are confused, thinking that sharing the plan of salvation is the gospel of the kingdom. They say, Jesus came, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on the cross to wash away our sins, and rose again. He returned to heaven and is coming back someday so we can be with him in heaven forever. And while all this is mostly true, it is not the gospel of the kingdom. What it is an introduction to the door of the kingdom. That's right. Yeshua is the door. We know this because in John 10, Yeshua says, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." What does he mean by "will go in and out"? He means will go into the kingdom and out into the world to advance the kingdom. Pasture means a place of provision and rest, a place of shalom, nothing missing, nothing lacking. Many camp out at the door, but there's so much more to salvation than getting entrance to the kingdom. Yeshua went on to say in John 10:10, that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Yeshua taught his disciples to pray what we call the Lord's Prayer. And in this prayer, there's a line that says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Once inside, we must learn first how to live out of the kingdom every day, obtaining and walking in the abundant blessings of the kingdom, dwelling in a place of total provision and complete peace. Then we advance the kingdom in the earth, which means to take dominion over our sphere of influence by destroying the works of the enemy. Matthew 4:23 says, Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. So what was this gospel of the kingdom that Jesus was teaching in their synagogues? Based on other scriptures, I'm quite certain that Jesus was not telling people that he was going to die for their sins, rise again, and then someday return to rapture them. He finally told his disciples, the closest ones, the 12 apostles, about dying and rising again, but not the masses. He was preaching the kingdom. He said things like, "The kingdom is at hand," and showed his disciples how to obtain and advance the kingdom in the earth by healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, opening blind eyes, raising the dead, multiplying food, calming storms, and casting demons out of people. This is when we must study by searching the scriptures and connecting the dots. Remember, I always tell you, be a Berean and search the scriptures daily. Whatever I'm saying today, what I'm teaching today, check it out for yourself. Read the Bible. Connect the dots. First, John the Baptist preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Then Jesus came and was baptized by John, and John bore witness that he was the Messiah, saying, "As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. This is written in Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew 4, we read that the devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness. And once that temptation period was over and angels had ministered to him, he settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." When he says it's at hand, that means it's close, even within your reach. He then chose the 12 and began healing the sick, casting out devils, and he at times multiplied food to feed thousands. He taught the people with authority. And in Matthew 13, he tries to help them understand some things about the kingdom by telling parables that include the phrase, "The kingdom of heaven is like." I want to go over these parables with you and learn a little bit about what the kingdom is like. But first, we must lay a little groundwork. So we will begin at verse 1 of Matthew 13. That day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and large crowds gathered to him. So he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. Picture that, Jesus sitting in a boat facing the beach, and on the beach, a crowd of people facing him, and he's teaching them, and they are all hearing, I believe, what he is saying. No sound system, no microphone, no speakers, just speaking. I think this is kind of like a miracle. And unless the acoustics of that area was amazing, it is a miracle because the sound of his voice was reaching that whole crowd and they were hearing what he was saying. Think about it. I can see it. I have the vision in my head right now of Jesus in that boat and the crowd on the beach. What an amazing sight. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Here Yeshua explains that there are four kinds of hearers. What are they hearing? The word of the kingdom. And only 25%, 1 in 4, take it in and bear fruit with it. What kind of hearer are you going to be? Let us today have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. I pray that you, dear listener, allow this word of the kingdom to take root and bear fruit in your life. Amen? Let's continue. Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. The slaves of the landowner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds or tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The slaves said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No. For while you are gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" I want to bring out a couple of things in this parable. Many teach that in the church, there will be hypocrites and false Christians and that these are the tares, but we are not to try and remove them because, after all, we're not to judge. While it is true that there are false believers in the church, this teaching contradicts Jesus' teaching in Matthew 18, which instructs us to put out the unrepentant sinner and treat them as an unbeliever. In this parable, the field is the world. The seed are those sent out into the world to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Many false teachers are sent out as well by the enemy, the devil. However, contrary to the beliefs of some who take it upon themselves to root out ones they call false teachers, we are to focus on our part to preach the truth. When calling out false doctrine, it is best to explain the doctrine and what is true and what is false about the teaching, but not the person. We don't want to call out people's names. This specific topic could be a whole lesson itself. But let's just leave it there and move on. I can't give you everything after all. I want you to read the Bible, study it out for yourself, and get the revelation from the Holy Spirit. Let it just suffice to say that calling people false prophets and false teachers and using their names is not the thing that we should be doing. We should be teaching the truth in love. Amen? He presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." This parable shows that the kingdom will start small. Just 12 apostles, 13 if you count Matthias, who was chosen by the 11 after Judas betrayed Jesus and hung himself. However, look at how it has grown. It is almost everywhere in the earth, blessing billions. He spoke another parable to them. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leavened." This is another picture of how small the kingdom was when it started. Just a small number of people, but they turned their world upside down and have impacted the whole world in the past 2,000 plus years. Amen. It is also a picture of the kingdom influence, which comes from within. When we are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, we are changed from the inside out. This is confirmed by the scripture that instructs us to work out our salvation. We have been changed on the inside, and all things have been made new. As we grow in the Lord, we allow that change to be more and more evident on the outside. In this way, those in our sphere of influence will see and hopefully want what you have, giving you the opportunity to preach the gospel of the kingdom to them and introduce them to the door to the kingdom, Yeshua, baptizing them in his name, thus adding another citizen to the kingdom. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables, and he did not speak to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world." So for those who think that Yeshua did not fulfill any prophecies, right here it says straight up, he spoke in parables to fulfill a prophecy. "Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field.' And he said, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world.'" See, right here in the scripture, Jesus is telling them, the field is not the church. The field is the world. "And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." As you can see, Yeshua clearly explains the symbolism in the parable of the wheat and tares. He says straight out that the wheat is good seed sown by the Son of Man. Yeshua is the Son of Man. The tares are bad seed sown by the devil. And he also says something that many seem not to understand. Many people prophesy that a great harvest is coming. While that harvest is true, it is not what they think. It is not an influx of new believers into the church. The harvest is the end of the age. It is when the angels, who are the reapers, will separate the good seed from the bad. So while we do want people saved, let us remember that in the last days there will also be a great falling away, and the love of many will grow cold. Bad seed, those who do not live according to kingdom principles, are burned. That's hell, the lake of fire. So hell is real, and it wasn't made for people, but if you're going to reject Yeshua, you will join the devil and his fallen angels there. good seed, those who are the sons of the kingdom, have an awesome future. All the bad seed will be removed from the kingdom so that we can live forever in peace with our Messiah. I think it's really important to understand it'll be removed from the kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's a key here that I think we need to meditate on and search the scriptures about. I'm not going to go into any more detail on that in this lesson. But remember that phrase, removed from the kingdom. But what an awesome future we have in Yeshua. No more war, no more tears, no more sickness, no more works of the devil to destroy, no darkness at all. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that is something to look forward to. Amen. No wonder Yeshua went on to say, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. These two short parables are similar, making it clear they teach the same lesson. What they teach is how valuable the kingdom is. GotQuestions.org says, both parables involve a man who sold all he had to possess the kingdom. The treasure and the pearl represent Jesus Christ and the salvation he offers. And while we cannot pay for salvation by selling all our worldly goods, once we have found the prize, we are willing to give up everything to possess it. The key is to find the prize. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's such a great prize. Seek it. They also explain this truth. In both parables, the treasures are hidden, indicating that spiritual truth is missed by many and cannot be found by intelligence or power or worldly wisdom. Matthew 13:11-17 and 1 Corinthians 2:7-8:14 make it clear that the mysteries of the kingdom are hidden from some who are unable to hear, see, and comprehend these truths. The disobedient reap the natural consequences of their unbelief, spiritual blindness. Those whose eyes are opened by the Spirit do discern spiritual truth, and they, like the men in the parable, understand its great value. I couldn't have said it better. That's why I shared what they said. And I pray that you will be one with open eyes, ears to hear, eyes to see, that you may comprehend this truth. Yeshua then tells them again what he had taught them earlier in the parable of the wheat and tares, but in a slightly different way. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it upon the beach, and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad they threw away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This parable reiterates that at the end of the age, the angels separate the good from the bad. It communicates that false believers who were drawn to the message of the cross, but have no desire to live in the kingdom according to the ways of Yahweh, will be sorted out and discarded. Remember the scariest verse in the Bible, Matthew 7:21? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Have you understood all these things? When Yeshua asked the disciples that question, they said to him, yes. And Jesus said to them, therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings out of his treasure things new and old. Did you get that? We must become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven. Many talk about being a disciple of Christ, but to be a disciple of Christ is to be a disciple of the kingdom of heaven. Think about it. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. The kingdom is what it's about. Yeshua is just the entrance. He's the door to the kingdom. That's just the beginning. There's so much more. And in this passage, we are told the householder brings forth out of his treasure the things he has laid up in his treasury, both new and old. The old treasure would be his understanding of the law. I have taught on this before. Yeshua did not come to abolish the law. The new treasure would be his understanding of the kingdom of heaven. Well, hopefully I've given you some understanding of the kingdom of heaven in this lesson today. At the very least, I pray I've piqued your interest and encouraged you to study the subject more. The late Dr. Miles Moreau had a good understanding of the kingdom and taught extensively on it. I highly recommend that you dig deeper into the subject by listening to his videos on YouTube, and if you can, get some of his books and read them. His teaching will help you to understand who you are, a kingdom citizen. And what you have as a kingdom citizen is way more than fire insurance papers to escape hell. Amen? We need to study it out. Seek first. Seek requires effort. Put forth the effort to seek the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom. And we are to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. God's kingdom needs to come to earth. So we need to understand what exactly is the kingdom. How do I live in the kingdom and advance the kingdom? Amen. I want to close with this blessing. May you have ears to hear and eyes to see, and may you be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Amen. So until next week, Shalom.